Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line, editor at My Broadband, Jan Vermeulen. Jan, you've picked a very bad day to speak to me. I'm in a filthy, foul mood. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm loving the rain. It shows you the difference in perspective, though, where some people are having a really terrible time because of the rain.
Mm.
Here in Gauteng, it's just amazing.
I love the rain. No, I absolutely love the rain. The reason I'm in a foul mood is because we didn't have electricity at home for 26 hours. So we were out for some because of some fault, and then the whole, I don't know, Sebenza thing happened yesterday. So we had a fault on a fault, and eventually it was more than 26 hours later that we got electricity back. And whilst all this is happening, I'm reading articles, which I can't really get because by now all my inverters are dead. So I've got no Wi-Fi. We don't have a great signal, so my booster for my cell phone is dead. But some of the articles that I do manage to read is about one of my broadband articles about Eskom wanting to charge people more who use less. In other words, people that have got solar panels should be charged more effectively because of the way they're splitting out they wanted to split out the new tariffs. And that made me dilly. So talk me down.
Sure. I'll try. So here's what Eskom is proposing. They would like to split their tariffs into a rate for your actual usage and then a rate for the network costs. And so the variable rate will still be cents per kilowatt hour. And then a fixed rand per kVA and rand per customer charge for access to the grid. Now, Eskom has disputed the accuracy of our headline. Our headline is Eskom wants South Africans with solar panels to pay more for electricity.
But that's
Eskom
accurate.
Has said that, this headline is factually incorrect. Because it's not that they're going to ask solar energy customers to pay more. All customers will be offered the same tariffs. And they say Eskom is striving to ensure that the tariffs accurately reflect the cost of its investment in energy, network and retail correctly. If this is not done, customers that have photovoltaics installed will be subsidized by those that don't have photovoltaics installed. And so I want to talk a little bit about why that's a terrible argument. The situation with that Eskom is proposing here it's understandable. They want to split, and there's been talk of splitting Eskom into three units anyway, two of which will be the generation side, which is where you will pay your cents per kilowatt hour, and then your transmission side, the grid. And so while, you know, this makes sense on some level, I think what people are concerned about is the fact that there's no talk of what the fixed costs are going to be and what's going to happen when the grid is down, right? So are you still going to be charged that fixed cost even though Eskom is not delivering services to you? And you know, this just harkens back to the situation with Telkom. Where when you wanted ADSL, you had to take a phone line along with it and pay for that phone line, even though you didn't want to make a single phone call. I mean, it's slightly different, but I think people have that in the back of their mind.
It's exactly the issue.
And there's nothing about how much it's going to be. And so the thing is, you know, what they're proposing here, is in fact a price increase for people who are not planning on using the grid as much. So
is it not exactly the same as a TV license? You know, if I don't watch SABC or if I have Netflix on my TV and I don't want any of the channels, SABC is still trying to get us to pay for it, even though they aren't, I might never want their service. Isn't it exactly the same thing? And of course, the other thing is the only advantage of not having electricity for 26 hours is you can't be charged for what you don't use. Now you will be charged for those 26 hours effectively.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that Eskom needs to clarify, is when their grid is down, are they going to reduce that fixed charge? And, yeah, it is a little bit like a TV license. One hopes that if you decide to go completely off grid, right? So this might be the straw that breaks the camel's back as well. This might be the thing that finally pushes people over the edge to say, no, I'm going completely off grid so that I don't have to pay this fixed cost. Take your transmission wires and leave. Mm. And so if like a TV license, you know, if you can get rid of your TV and get the SABC TV inspectors to come out and see that you don't have a TV in your house, and they must now please stop charging you your TV license. If Eskom is going to work on that same principle, then yes, it can be like a TV license. I think what you are asking though is, aren't they going to keep charging you for the transmission lines that come to your house, mm-hmm. even if you don't use Absolutely. A single kilowatt hour? Mm. And that, once again, is not made clear. And so this is, I think, is what's got people's backs up, is there's a whole bunch of edge cases that you know, they don't speak through. They're just saying, yeah, they're going to do this thing. And of course, South Africans are going to go, yeah, but what about this? What about this? What about this? Are you going to keep charging me even if you do this, you know? And so that's, you know, those are the things that Eskom really needs to talk about if it wants to assuage people.
Isn't this just simply a reflection of desperation?
Yeah, so that is certainly a consideration, because the fact is that solar power is hurting Eskom. So in its Eskom had a presentation to NERSA, the mm-hmm. National Energy Regulator, and said that the problems caused by South Africans who are generating their own electricity using solar power at home Eskom says this forces them to ramp up at a faster rate to meet evening demand, and this has a significantly negative impact on the power system. So, yeah, it's actually applied for increases and stuff which it's got. And so it says, by splitting tariffs into fixed and variable costs for the consumer, solar power customers will still need to pay the fixed cost regardless of their usage, and their solar power system would not save them nearly as much money. So it's not what they say. This is now what we were, you know, inferred from what Eskom was talking about here. Eskom says that the situation around solar has created a falsely attractive business case for own generation. And the thing is here, what's sad here is that, you know, in so many places around the world, you see the adoption of solar power being incentivized. And what Eskom is doing here, which is the other thing that I think has got people's backs up, is Eskom wants to disincentivize investment in solar energy. Whereas, as I said, in many other places around the world, there's all kinds of schemes in place to allow you to sell, you know, your excess power that you generate back to the grid, all that stuff. And Eskom is literally going in the opposite direction here.
What I'm genuinely perplexed about is all of this functions on the basis that Eskom has all of this power that it would like to sell to its customers. That's the presumption here. All of this would make perfect sense if they had spent all this money in infrastructure, they had excess power, and now they weren't utilizing it all, so they wanted to find a way to incentivize people to rather use their power than any alternate source. Are they completely delusional? Do they not understand, or do they not see that at a time where the economy is really struggling, factories are not working at capacity, people are working at home, even at a time like this, they cannot supply, they can't meet the demand, forget growth. I don't get it.
So, like, I don't think they're delusional, but they are trying to protect themselves, right? Because they're seeing what's happening and going, this, is going to, this is like a seesaw where the weight is slowly shifting and it's going to shift slowly, and it is shifting slowly, and then it's just going to shift all at once. And but the fact is that the you know, this is sort of like BlackBerry complaining about, you know, people switching to different platforms or stopping to use BBM in South Africa or whatever the case might be. It's their own fault for moving as slowly as they have. And one says own fault, I mean, the folks at Eskom are doing the best they can in their own jobs. It's government's fault that Eskom is in the position it's in. And so this has got nothing to do about Eskom recognizing its own limitations. It's about protecting its existence. It's about protecting its ability to continue doing what it does. And the fact is, it's in this position in the first place because of exactly that, exactly what you were describing. It can't meet demand, and so people, individuals, and businesses have found other ways of you know, making sure that they've got power to their homes. And so you know, the folks I've been speaking to in the renewable industry. You know, the Eskom might have a different view on this, but in the renewable industry, the vision they have of what the future of power generation looks like is, instead of a centralized power generator like Eskom, you have communities effectively generating their own power using solar, and then that is connected up into a shared grid. It might not be a national grid, it might be more localized than that. And you know, that this power is then distributed and people pay for it on that basis. And so rather than one Eskom, you have individual neighborhoods effectively running their own solar power plants.
Which is such a simple, which is such a simple and smart way to do it. I mean, if we look at what competition did for Telkom, it's raised Telkom's level. It's raised our level of telecommunications in this country. It's never a bad decision.
Right, but unfortunately, the monopolies are always put in a bad position at first. So if you look at where Telkom is now, it's bleeding fixed line customers. Its mobile unit is struggling to compete with Vodacom and MTN, and not because it's bad. I mean, it is being let down a little bit by its sales and support side, but you know, it's not because the quality of the network is bad. You know, so Cell C, you know, has had a reputation for having a bad network, or bad quality of service, I should say, on the network side. You know, on the customer side, it might actually be okay. And so, but the fact is, you know, Telkom is struggling to make any kind of inroads against Vodacom and MTN, and now Vumatel is eating its lunch. And so, I'm sure Eskom is not blind to that fact. It does not have a culture of competition because it hasn't had to have one. And so, the thing is, when you allow a state-owned or a state-sanctioned monopoly like this to languish like this, then you really do it a disservice. The sooner it learns to behave competitively. So, and you've got to make a choice, right? So this is an interesting one, an article we wrote in the past about what has led Eskom to this position. Ted Blom lists five things that have led Eskom into this predicament. And one of them is that, the very first one is that the very structure that Eskom is based on changed from a public utility to a state-owned company with a shareholder and a board, right? So the very way Eskom operates, its very reason for being, its reason for existence, changed in that moment. And so if you want to run it like a company, then you need to make sure that it's got a culture of competition in there. And the only way to do that is to allow competition. Otherwise, it's just theoretical.
Absolutely. Jenny says the reason that people started looking for alternatives is because Eskom couldn't supply electricity. They've made themselves redundant. And Mark says in some other countries overseas, you actually get a rebate for having solar panels. And they even sometimes paid they paid excess, exactly what you were saying, about putting it back in to the grid. Hakamor says we're paying for Eskom's incompetence that we voted for. Now we are receiving it. Hakamor also says new road traffic lights not working. Hakamor, if you want to tell us where, though, new road and what, so that we can alert our listeners. Jan Vermeulen, thank you, as always. Fascinating conversation. You have calmed me down a little bit just by having a rational conversation, even though it's no better in terms of news and approach than when we started, but somehow just getting some of the information and understanding it better seems to help. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.